Let us pray. Lord, I ask that all my words and the meditations of each of our hearts would be acceptable in your sight, O Christ, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Every Mother's Day, I try to find a story in the Bible about a woman who might inspire us. And I must say that the woman that I chose this time is very inspirational. She's not the type of person that my mother would have told me to emulate, because we know her profession. And the Bible says it several times in the passage. Did you pick up what she did for a living? Rahab was a prostitute, and we can learn a lot from Rahab today. I love this story. Do you remember the story? Spies were sent to Jericho, and there had already been a terrible, feared reputation from the Israelites. The people of Jericho were in a twitter because they understood that this marauding band of people were setting their sights on Jericho. So I am sure that the city was on high alert. And Rahab's home was set in the wall. I thought it was very strategic that it was set in the wall so people could jump out if they needed to at any moment. So Rahab sees these strangers come in, and of course, being that she was such a popular lady, she knew all about the goings on in Jericho and all the gossip. And these men come into her place of business, and she decides that she's going to bank on the fact that their God is going to help them. I don't know why she thought that. It didn't make any sense. She was putting herself in grave danger by hiding these spies. In fact, the king sent soldiers to get them out, and she hid the spies. If they had been found out, Rahab and probably her whole family would have been killed. If she had turned them in, she would have been the hero of her land. But she didn't do that. She not only provided a place to stay for them, but she kept them safe. She found a way to get them out of town, and she exacted a promise from them. She said, "If I do this for you, I want you to promise to keep not only myself, but my family safe when you come into Jericho." And so the spy said to her, "Well, that seems reasonable. Our life for yours." They said, "This big red cord that you let us down with, we want you to put that outside your window. And when our armies come in, if we see that cord, we will let our armies know not to touch anybody in that house. You will all be safe." And my twisted imagination wondered how many people had been led down through the years on that cord. And so it was probably not unusual to see the red cord outside Rahab's house. And so, as the story goes, she puts the red cord out, she gathers all her family in, and when Jericho was torn down to the ground, the Bible says they took Rahab and her entire family out and put them outside the Israelite camp, and she and her family were saved. It was the least they could do. I learned one wonderful thing about hospitality was that hospitality is not only providing food and shelter. Hospitality goes the extra mile and provides safety. And she made her guests safe. But there's another side to the story that's usually not told. And it intrigued me as I read the story because I know some things that happened after the fact. In the story, it says that Rahab's family was outside the camp. But then a little later it says, they live in the midst of the Israelites to this day. Now, whoever wrote this, it was many, many years, probably after Rahab died, that this story was read and was written down, which means that her family was in the midst of the Israelites all those years. And this is where the story gets interesting. You have to know something about the Jewish culture, especially at this time. There was no such thing as intermarriage. They didn't care how nice or fine the Gentiles were. You didn't marry outside your race. It was something that was prohibited. The racial purity was so strong that you'll see in certain books of the Bible that they talk about the lineage. And if you weren't of a certain family, you could be discriminated against. There were times that if Israelite men married outside the faith, those women were banished. This is how serious it was. But Rahab married a man within the tribe of Israel. And according to the New Testament, his name was Salmon. And Salmon and Rahab had a son named Boaz. Boaz's story is in the book of Ruth. And Boaz was an upstanding man. He was wealthy, he was compassionate, he was ethical. He was a wonderful man. Now, how did this woman, who, yes, did a kindness, but how did she morph into Mother of the Year and create, she and her husband create this marvelous man? Matthew, in the Gospel of Matthew, is proud to name Rahab as an ancestor to Jesus. Now, this has disturbed some Bible scholars over the years, and they've tried to clean Rahab's reputation up. And they try to say, no, no, that really wasn't true. She wasn't a prostitute. She was more of an innkeeper. But I think that dilutes the marvel of this story. They not only were thankful to Rahab, they made Rahab one of them. That's a radical hospitality, isn't it? It's the divine inclusion. God loved us so much that he brought us in to his family. This group of Israelites who had a certain way of being and a culture that was pure brought Rahab in. The divine inclusion. Hospitality gone beyond the hi, how are you, to you are part of our family. That's what hospitality is all about, bringing people in. The first time I met a young man named David, he was 16 years old and he had had a very hard life. He was a street smart kid. He smoked. He was probably smoking by the time he was 10 or 11. Half his life was spent on the streets. He was being raised poorly by his mom. And he had one person who was the rock of the family, and that was his grandmother. And at 16 years of age, he decided he did not want to live from shelter to shelter anymore, and he found his way to his grandmother's house. We figure that he dropped out of school by ninth grade. There are no more school records from him from ninth grade on. And his grandmother, of course, welcomes him in, but she was having a hard time because he had A, no manners, B, he was street smart, and she didn't know what she was going to do with this child. And she happened to be an attender of the church that I had in Maryland. So of course she brought him into church and she said, I don't know what to do with him. Now you have to understand that the culture in this church was very different from the culture that David was a part of. First of all, the entire youth group, like 99.9% of the youth group was African American. David was white. All the young people in that youth group were college bound. David was not. All the young people had good, solid families. David did not. And yet I watched as that youth group took him in. The youth leaders, it was not easy because he was very street smart and they didn't want him corrupting the kids and yet they wanted to be a good influence. So there were some times I saw youth leaders doing this to him. And there were some times I took him aside and said, "You will respect your grandmother." We worked with him and we included him in. One time his grandmother said to him, she was so disgusted because his hair had gotten long and dirty, and she said, "David, I cannot sit with you in church with your hair that way, and I'm not taking you to church with me if your hair's like that." He made sure he got it cut because he wanted to be in church. Fast forward to this day, David works in the Navy. He serves on a ship. Family was sending a care package to his ship. That is radical hospitality. They made him one of their own, someone from a different culture, someone from a different background, and they helped him through years of work and patience to clean his life up. This is what God calls each of us to be, is radically hospitable, because while we were yet sinners, while we were away from the family of God, Christ died for us. And this is what he calls us to be, is to be radically inclusive. How will that play out next week? As we go about our business, as we meet people who are very different from us, how can we affect somebody else's life? Rahab went from prostitute to mother of the year because the community embraced her and made her one of them. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for Rahab. We thank you for her leap of faith. We thank you for her hospitality to people she did not know. And we thank you for that community that brought her in and cleaned her up. May we do the same. Amen. Let us stand to sing our closing hymn, which is found as a leaflet in your bulletin, "Savior, Again to Thy Dear Name We Raise."